Hi, everyone. Gene Nichols with you here as we embark on this crazy holiday season right here on Community Roundup, coming to you from the KNews studios at Alpha Media. Dr. Jenna LeCount-Heinle has opted to take some time out of her busy schedule and chat with us again. We've talked about suicide prevention. We've talked about breast cancer. Now we're talking about diabetes. Dr. Jenna, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Sometimes we come down with diseases as human beings and we have no idea what caused it. We are not sure what we could have done to prevent it. But in the case of diabetes, at least there's one type which really is dependent on how much we're very cognizant of our lifestyle and our diet, while the other forms of diabetes are not as preventable. Take us through the steps and let us know what's what.
There are multiple types of diabetes. There's type 1, which used to be called juvenile diabetes, and that is usually diagnosed in children and young adults and is genetically based. Then there's type 2 diabetes, which is the most common type, and that typically has an onset when you're an adult. It used to be called adult onset diabetes, and that is the one that does have some risk factors that people can control, things like diet and exercise.
So diet and exercise are crucial.
They absolutely are, and with many other factors, it's not just diet and exercise, but also really staying physically fit, making really small steps. And there are certain other types of health conditions that can raise your risk of getting type 2 diabetes, like having high blood pressure or having high cholesterol.
The big problem is we live in an American society in which diet and exercise, or at least factoring them into an overall lifestyle, are not really high on the priority list of most Americans.
It's true. I know I have a really tough time making time for me to exercise. It's a difficult thing in today's world, especially if you have a job where you sit for long periods of time.
Well, you are hereby invited to my yoga class in the new year. How's that? Dr. Jenna LeCount-Heinle is with the Health Assessment and Research for Communities, and we're here to talk not only about the diabetes problem, but to bring it close to home here in the Coachella Valley. You have some statistics. Will we be surprised when we hear them, Doctor?
It's relatively common. We've got nearly 40,000 adults in our Coachella Valley that have been diagnosed with diabetes, and that's about 12.8% of our population. So 13% nearly have been diagnosed with diabetes, and another 9,000 have been diagnosed with borderline or prediabetes, meaning that they're well on their way to having type 2 diabetes.
However, if you have prediabetes, think of it as a little warning sign that you've been given, you're on notice, and you can make some changes and make that disappear.
Absolutely. Hopefully. There are certain things that can increase your risk of type 2 diabetes that you don't have any control over, such as age and ethnicity. And there's other factors that can give you type 2 diabetes. For instance, Vietnam veterans who've been exposed to Agent Orange are predisposed to type 2 diabetes. For the majority of us, you can head it off with diet and proper exercise.
Something, again, that most Americans don't want to even discuss. The 12.8% of us here in the Coachella Valley that have diabetes, is that higher than the national average?
It's a little bit higher. The national average is about 9% of people have been diagnosed with diabetes, so we're a little high here.
Okay, so we're almost at 13%, so yeah, that's a sizable number. What are we recommending for the holiday season to try to get whatever we can under control to prevent 2018 being worse than 2017 if we have type 2 diabetes or prediabetes?
That's a really good question, and it's a tough one this holiday season. They have some really great resources at diabetes.org that can help you with meal planning and living with diabetes that I think are just absolutely invaluable. They have some great ideas for making healthy food choices and for planning meals that you'd be really surprised how tasty they are.
When we talk about diabetes, the disease itself isn't really a disease like a virus or a bacteria. It's really a metabolic problem that brings on other worsening conditions that really ends up getting you over time, isn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, it's really a problem with insulin, which is a hormone. So you either have not enough insulin is being produced by the body, or it's not being effectively used in the body. And so this can have some immediate symptoms like excessive thirst or hunger or fatigue, but over time can really have issues with those cardiovascular issues as well as skin conditions.
And what is it about diabetes that often leads to complications of the foot or even the eye?
Yes, that's a really good point. Part of it is that The only way to tell if you have diabetes is to get blood tests from your doctor. So you can't self-diagnose or anything like that. So typically with type 2 diabetes, the most common that occurs in adults, it can take years before symptoms begin to occur. And so if you're not getting regular checkups, you've been having this accumulated damage to your body without even really knowing about it. So part of the problem there is that many people with advanced diabetes have eye issues. They can much more easily go blind. Vision loss is a huge factor, as well as circulation, and can lead to having wounds that don't heal and eventually can often lead to amputation in most extreme events.
Are there some number guidelines for an A1C test, or is it the EGL test that they have out now that we can take care of on our own, or do we have to go see a doc?
So that's a really good point. An A1C test is a test that is typically given to people with diabetes. It tells you about the level of your blood glucose or your blood sugar and how much it has altered over the past 3 months. So this will really give you an idea if you were seeing extreme peaks, which means you're not in good control of your blood sugar, or if it was fairly stable, which is what you're really going for. For somebody who doesn't have diabetes, their A1C is below 5.7%. And somebody who has really uncontrolled diabetes has an A1C of above 8%. So it's a pretty small window there, but it is something that requires a blood test that your doctor can do for you. So again, this is something that requires you to go into your provider and get these tests to be able to manage your disease properly.
Are these kind of tests inexpensive? Probably not in the medical community. And how accessible are they to a typical person with some kind of health care coverage, say at work or even through the Affordable Care Act?
Preventative tests like this are absolutely covered under just about every single type of insurance. And the reason for that is if you catch it now and you start to manage your diabetes, it's much, much more cost effective than if you let it go for a long time and you end up having to get things like amputations. So it's in everyone's best interest for us to identify cases of diabetes early on and start to cope with them.
Well, we will certainly try to do our best. We will pass on the pumpkin pie, the pecan pie, the cranberry sauce, which cranberries are a lovely food. The problem is the way we eat them out of a can coated with high fructose corn syrup and sugar and everything else, that's what really makes them bad for you.
I know. It's funny how many sneaky things can affect diabetes. I'm just learning this because my father, who is a Vietnam veteran, has recently been diagnosed. And for him, it was really interesting that starches and pasta and that sort of stuff causes his blood sugar to fluctuate as much as eating a pecan pie. And so it really is things that you're not thinking about that can affect your diabetes and your blood sugar levels. And that's why it's important to do some research on it and to look at what should I be eating. The nice thing about diabetes is that nothing's off the table. We're not saying you can never have cranberry sauce again. We're just saying do it in moderation and only occasionally, maybe only on Thanksgiving type of thing.
And the big thing, too, there are things that are not that sweet tasting, but very well could be very high in carbs, very high in sugars. You know, if you go somewhere, say, and have three or four pancakes, the pancakes don't taste sweet like a piece of chocolate cake, but those things are going to your belly. And if you put a little bit of syrup on them or a little bit of jelly, that thing is a one big blast of sugar for your system.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you are having grains, you know, try to have whole grains. Absolutely. Whole wheat flour, that sort of thing. It takes a lot longer to digest because of high fiber. And so because of that, it actually evens the intake into your blood sugar and is much, much better for you than something like white flour that you would typically see in pancakes.
Any good books and or websites you can recommend to our listeners that they can go to for a reference on some of the things they might be swapping out to eat for their bad habits of the things that really aren't good for us?
I definitely recommend the American Diabetes Association website. That is diabetes.org. They have some really, really great sources. On one of my favorites is their page of diabetes superfoods, which actually includes some of our typical Thanksgiving foods, including sweet potatoes, as long as you don't coat them with marshmallows and maple syrup. Sweet potatoes are actually really, really good for you and for people with diabetes. So that's a great website. I also have to say that locally, all of our local healthcare providers, whether you're talking about the hospitals, Borrego, Clínicas de Salud del Pueblo, Desert Oasis Healthcare, or Kaiser, they all have really fabulous classes, many of them in both English and Spanish, about learning to live with diabetes and understanding it and making these meal choices. And now many of them take a referral, but there are some courses that you can just join free of charge because it's in everyone's best interest to understand this and to learn how to live a healthy lifestyle and hopefully put off diabetes.
Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Jenna LeCount-Heinle with the Health Assessment and Research for Communities Group. Doctor, thanks so much. One more quick note. You have a website over there at HARC, don't you?
We do. It is harcdata.org. That's harcdata.org. If you have any needs for any health facts, any health data or statistics, please come check out our website. We have Coachella Valley-specific data, all freely available and open to the whole public.
We appreciate your efforts, and thanks so much. Always great to talk with you, Doctor. Have a great holiday season.
Thanks, Gene. You too.
I'm Gene Nichols. This is Community Roundup.